You're listening to Banal Leakage, episode 64, Better Off Ted. All right, episode 64. Another long gap between episodes here, but this episode has multiple stories about the presidential candidate hopeful Ted Cruz. So if you already read or heard too much about Ted Cruz, feel free to skip to this week's rant and shameless plug. They are not about Ted Cruz. And with that, let's start the news. Senator Ted Cruz is the first official presidential candidate for 2016 race. So on March 23rd at Jerry Falwell's Liberty University, with all students forced to attend, Ted Cruz announced he was running for president, which made him the first to do so out of all the potential candidates, from any party, not just Republican, but Democrat too. So the choice of an ultra-Christian focused institution gave pause to anyone but the most religious of Christians, where he gave his announcement. So his platform was a list of imagine if statements, mostly focused on repealing Obamacare and catering to his party base, which from a Republican level, that could be all over the place. I mean, there's Tea Party, there's the right, there's religious, there's conservative, there's ultra-conservative. I mean, for Ted, his Tea Party background was evident in his announcement, given his disdain for government functions like the IRS, which he called for to abolish, which, most people know that the IRS is not really a government entity. It's a privately owned company that the government outsources to. So I don't really know if a lot of people knew that, but I have for many years, and I'm assuming Ted has known that too. But so the issue of his citizenship was never in question. So anyone that remembers the last many years, since Obama started running, his citizenship or birthright or birthplace or birth certificate has always been in question. There's been people saying that he was born in Kenya. They've always questioned his, being born in the U.S. Yet, Senator Ted Cruz was not born in the U.S. He was born in Canada. But his loophole is his mother. His mother is a U.S. citizen. So that makes it so that he could be born outside the U.S. and still be, quote-unquote, a natural-born citizen. So, but yet I don't see any of these people that question Obama's citizenship or birth certificate, and they're not calling for Ted's, a bit of hypocrisy here, if you will, but I'm glad. I mean, I don't question it, it's kind of ridiculous, for a while, I can see that, people not understanding the whole issue with that whole thing, but, hey, he's first to announce his, and he's eligible to run for president, and I guess we shall see, how long he stays in the race, Will he last? I mean, place your bets now. Ted Cruz signing up for Obamacare, also known as the Affordable Care Act. What? The king of kill it is having to sign up for the Affordable Care Act. So, when he announced his candidacy for president, his wife decided to step down from her position at Goldman Sachs and has taken a leave of absence to help her husband become president. So in several interviews, he makes it known that he is against this law, but he's actually going to get insurance through it, even though there are many other options that he could get, like several other members of Congress do now, or his wife could have gone on to COBRA for her place of work. So the idea of Ted Cruz being on Affordable Care Act is something of an odd irony. It's almost as if he really wants it to work so that he can get the subsidy at the same time railing on the subsidy. I don't know. It's the number of different ways of looking at this issue here. You know, I mean, you know, he says he's trying to do the right thing. It's like, well, but you're still going to kill it, you know? You know, it's like, you know, it's like, what's a good analogy? You know, sitting on a tree branch and cutting the branch that you're sitting on. So, yeah, that's kind of what I picture when I heard about Ted Cruz going on the Affordable Care Act here. So for now, those of us that know the Affordable Care Act is helping get more insured. Yeah, I mean, it's a runaway success. I mean, it had its very bumpy roads. It's had, you know, people were critical of it initially, but, you know, it's done well. I mean, it's, you know, the uninsured in this country has gone down. I mean, thanks to the Affordable Care Act, you know, people that have insurance through it now are actually getting covered, and they're, you know, if they were sick or if they had some health issues, they're now, you know, being able to address those without spending $900 to $1,000 a month on COBRA, you know, which, you know, if, you know, Ted Cruz's wife wanted to go on COBRA, I'm sure they could afford it. You know, I've heard his stories about, you know, how he grew up and, you know, the poor and all that kind of stuff, you know, but he's pretty prominent now. I mean, just do a simple Google search on what he's done, and I would imagine that you're going to find quite a bit of, you know, different things that has his hand in that he's doing better financially. So, but hey, you know, let's let the irony sit for as long as it can. You know that he's going to be under, you know, healthcare coverage that he's against. So, more power to the Affordable Care Act for actually making this happen. Ted Cruz says satellite data shows no global warming. Satellite scientist says otherwise. So based on a selected blog post, Mr. Cruz is using selected data to state that his claim is correct. And while the warming pattern was slower from the year he started, looking at this, you know, the figures from this blog post in 1998 to 2015, his claim of zero warming is not accurate at all. So the source that Ted Cruz pulled his information from says there was a pause or hiatus in warming. But then, here's this physicist, Carl Mears. So he makes a point to note that global warming is still valid. Of course it is. You know, there's more than just satellite data to look at, you know. I mean, there's, you know, so many other issues to look at. You know, like Carl Mears explains further in the link to the article that I have. So I have the link on the show notes on this. So basically, this is a another form of cherry picking with, you know, some accurate information to tell your uninformed supporters that global warming is a hoax, or, you know, to pretty much shoot down any concerns about global warming. So I really can't, I don't know. So, you know, it's, I mean, they're obviously trying to shut down the critics, but, you know, be more accurate. You know, stop cherry picking. Stop pretending that, you know, human-caused activity doesn't cause global warming. I mean, it certainly does, and it's been proven. And it's, you know, even just natural logic, you know. I mean, driving a car around. You know, you can't point to 10,000 years ago because there were no cars, you know, spewing carbon monoxide into the environment. So, yeah. So, there you go. This week's rant. So, California lawyer proposes a sodomite suppression act with legal license to kill gays. Yes, this is a real story and not one from The Onion. So, this lawyer, his name is Matt McLaughlin, a Huntington Beach, California lawyer, who is obviously a religious whack job, has drafted up a law and sent it to be voted on. The law proclaims that the citizens of California need to be protected from God's wrath that the gays have brought upon us. Yeah, it really, I mean, go read the article on the show notes. It just puzzles me what kind of people we have, especially practicing law here. So it offers a legal means to take out these gays by killing them, thereby protecting the majority of the population from God's wrath. So, you know, reading this, reading it would be funny if this loon ball wasn't serious in his legal proposal. He's most definitely serious. So he's taking the steps. So steps taken from the California election people to stop this have been met with disdain, as under the current system, anyone with $250 can propose a new law and have it be put up for a ballot initiative. You know, fat chance this law would ever get passed a preliminary vote, which would fall way short of the 350,000 signatures needed to even make it to a ballot. So I understand that there are efforts to get this freak barred from practicing law. So for that measure, I hope that one passes. Yeah, killing gays. God's wrath. What a loon. All right, this week's shameless plug. The end of winter and the start to spring happened. Yes, so, yeah, again, you know, I'm way behind on my podcast, so, you know, we're already into May when I'm recording this, but this is from, you know, March, towards the end of March. So spring is, you know, happened at March 21st, 20th, 21st, something like that. So I like to talk about the weather a lot, you know, at the start of many of my episodes here, but, so even though it was a very mild winter, I'm still happy to see spring have started, which means one more season closer to summer. Woohoo! Which is my favorite season. I love summer. I mean, it's so short here in Utah. It's ridiculous. I mean, most years we're lucky to get 2 months of, you know, decent temperatures without, you know, rainstorms happening and, you know, the temperature dropping 40 degrees in one day. You know, it's just pretty much insane. But hey, you know, it's my choice. I've been here 27 years. You'd think I could move and go to a warmer climate. I do like fall, you know, speaking of, you know, other seasons, I like fall to some degree, but I don't do cold very well. You know, again, you know, I've been here how many years now? 27 years, 28 years, and I still, you know, still in that mode of bitching and complaining about the weather. So I much prefer, you know, the warmth of summer. So some spring days do get in the mid to high 70s, which is nice. I only need a lighter coat, not a heavier coat usually. Like a windbreaker or something like that. So, you know, and I do take in the few nice days we have during spring. I really look forward to them, you know. So they, you know, unfortunately, they're sandwiched in between, you know, windy, wet, and colder days. So the closer it gets to summer, you know, the days do get nicer and do stay nicer, so which is nice. I mean, like, you know, usually like around May-ish or so, you know, the weather starts to, you know, be more consistently nice, you know. But we had a very mild winter this year, so we didn't see a lot of snow or a lot of, you know, freezing or sub-freezing temperatures. So it's all catching up with us here in the spring. So, unfortunately, that means colder days and everything like that. But, hey, you know, it's what it is, and, you know, I just, you know, keep taking my coat wherever I can, and, you know, and as it gets warmer, I, you know, like I said earlier, it's going to, you know, switch to a lighter jacket like a windbreaker, but, hey, you know, it's what it is. So, welcome to spring here in Utah. Shameful religious people. Want to leave feedback? Email podcast@banalleakage.com. Thank you for listening, and as always, if you can't be specific, just be random.